This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat, where we explore the fascinating world of feline wellness and beyond. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, veterinarian, fear-free certified professional, and your inside source for what's new and important in the world of cats. Today, we're going to talk with a special guest. We're going to talk about the science behind why pets make our lives better. We know it in our hearts, but now there's hard data to back it up. My guest is Stephen Feldman. He's the president of the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, or HABRI. HABRI supports scientific research to demonstrate the benefits that companion animals have on human health. Hi, Steve. Thanks for being here.
Dr. Cat, thanks so much for inviting me.
So I want to take a quick break and then come back and just dive right in. So we'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. And today, everybody's going to learn some new stuff that they didn't know with Steve Feldman. And we're going to start at the beginning, I guess. Can you tell my listeners what HABRI is and what inspired the creation of an organization like this?
Sure. Happy to do that. So the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, HABRI for short, we're a nonprofit organization, and we fund scientific research on how pets are good for our mental, physical, and social health. The way this all came about is about a dozen years ago, some researchers who were kind of laboring in anonymity, didn't have enough money, caught the attention of the American Pet Products Association and Zoetis and Petco. Those are the three organizations that founded HABRI. And they said, wouldn't it be great if we could take some money from the pet care community and channel it into this research? They suspected that if we could share and support this research, that that would make a bright future for both pets and people. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Well, I love it. I think we do know in our hearts that they are good for us, but I'm pretty excited that we sort of prove it, or HABRI sort of proves it. So what drew you personally to participate in this? Do you have pets?
Well, I do. My old dog passed away a little over a year ago, but the good news is that my daughter and her cat came back from college at about the same time. And so I was always a dog guy. And then this pandemic kitten, she's 5 years old now, came into our lives. And it turns out I am a cat guy. It's Winnie, Winnie the cat. We have a great relationship. I love it.
Wow, you saved it. I thought you were going from dog lover and you saved it here on our show. So Winnie has kind of helped remind you why this mission matters, I would bet.
Oh, every day. Every day. Yeah, some people, when I tell them what I get a chance to do for a living, say, well, duh, didn't we know that already? Especially pet lovers. But most people, when I tell them what I get to do for a living, they tell me a story about why it's true. So many people will tell a personal story about how a pet stayed by their side, how a pet helped an aging relative or a child through a difficult time in their lives. And so when we put the science behind that, we can actually help make sure more people enjoy the benefits of pets. And here's the other good news. When we tell people that there's science behind the things that they're feeling, they actually take better care of their pets.
Which is where I come in, right? So I love it. So do you have any specific stories? I mean, I've heard stories in my exam rooms about, actually, I have dogs that are diabetes dogs that help with a family who has multiple children. The children all suffer from diabetes and the dog helps manage their blood sugar. Can you think of any specific story that you have heard that kind of warmed your heart?
Well, you know, we're the research organization, so I'm going to dive right in and share a piece of research, but I think this will speak to what you're asking. A lot of people know that dogs are beneficial for children on the autism spectrum, but we funded one of the first and most important studies to show that cats really help kids with autism. This was done at the University of Missouri. Shelter cats were placed with a family who had a child with autism. We measured the family harmony. We measured the social interaction of these children. We also measured the cat welfare to make sure that they were going to be okay in these homes. We got these amazing results. Not only did these children do better, have more social interaction, less problem behavior, really did well with the cats, but the family caregivers, usually the parents, turned out to love these cats quite a bit and brought joy to their lives. And we measured the stress levels in the cats. Turns out they adapted just fine in these homes. So one kid at a time, but now we're putting science to show that cats really are beneficial for these kids.
So did they end up adopting the cats?
They all did, yes.
Oh, I love it. Oh, what a great story. So does the research help promote things like allowing animals into hospitals and schools and that kind of thing? Do you think that that's a valuable part?
Absolutely. We've funded some important studies, including one down in your neck of the woods, University of Tennessee, where therapy animals, both dogs and cats, visiting kids, pediatric cancer patients, other kids who are hospitalized. And not only did that help prevent stress in the children, but again, the parents, you know, also saw a huge benefit to having these pets come in and visit. So when you put science behind that, that helps these hospitals justify it. It helps make sure more people can have these visits.
I agree. Well, as a veterinarian, of course, I see the human-animal bond every day. But I think that what you do helps me be able to better communicate the benefits. So does Habri have any tools or resources that we could use maybe in practice to back up what everybody knows to be true?
We do. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because acknowledging the bond in the exam room, in the clinic, is so important. When you recognize that these cats and dogs and other animals are family, and you show that right from the start, it really unlocks a better client-veterinarian relationship. It allows you to provide higher-level care. And obviously, if you're thinking about the bond in the practice of veterinary medicine, you can strengthen the relationship between the client and their pet. So we partnered with NAVC, the North American Veterinary Community, and we've created a human-animal bond certification CE course. It's delivered online through their Vetfolio platform. And I think everybody should think about it. Not only do you learn about the bond in the practice of medicine, but I think the best compliment I got was from a veterinarian who walked up to me and said that it really helped him reconnect with his purpose, which to me was the ultimate compliment.
That is wonderful, because I think it elevates our pets from just a dog or just a cat a little bit more. And I think that is so extremely valuable. So I think also there is a role for understanding the value of our bond really in the broader public health arena. Do you think that policymakers are starting to listen now that you've had such moving research?
Well, they are. And I think, you know, stories are important. But joining stories with the data is when you can really make policy change. So I'm glad you asked that question. There's a bill that's been introduced in Congress that I think everybody would be happy to learn about. It's called the People and Animals Well-Being Act, or PAW Act, of course. And what this would do would, if it passes, it would allow people to use their flexible spending accounts and health savings accounts, these pre-tax dollars, for veterinary care for their pets. We want to make sure that all of our cats and dogs and other animals get great veterinary care, and making it a little more affordable is the aim of this bill. But I don't think Congress would have, members of Congress would have introduced this bill had they not had a true recognition of the health benefits that our pets bring to us.
I agree completely. I don't think just loving them is enough. I think that what you're doing kind of elevates it to the role of science and proves what we all know to be true. So, okay, that is amazing. I do want to take a quick break, though, because I've got some other questions for you. So we're going to take a moment and we'll be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Kat on Pet Life Radio. So, all right, we've been talking about the data that supports what we already know, that animals are good for us and we love them. But what are some of your biggest challenges that you face as you move through your mission with Hybri?
Well, I think some of the biggest challenges are really making sure that broader society acknowledges the health benefits of pets. So, for example, we did an important study looking at pet-friendly housing. And some of the housing policies, I think, are stuck in the past. So what we found was that people said pet-friendly housing, especially rental housing, was very hard to find. And what this means is you can't have pets adopted or go into a home unless you have a home for them. So one of the things we're doing is trying to leverage our science to create more pet-friendly housing. I don't think shelters will achieve their goals, for example, unless we can just loosen up those restrictions a little bit.
I agree. I think making pet ownership or pet guardianship more affordable and, with the policies and making it happen with a place to live, those are really good. So what about, are there any myths that you think people have about the human-animal bond that have been kind of busted with this stuff that you guys have learned?
Well, one of the things we've learned is that the human-animal bond is strong regardless of your socioeconomic status. So, this notion that you shouldn't have a pet unless you can afford the pet. Well, people from all walks of life are committed to their pets. And people, who have lower incomes actually spend more as a percentage of their income on their pets. So this isn't something just for people who are well off. Pet ownership is beneficial to everyone. And I think it's really important to think about pets from a universal perspective.
So I'm going to throw this out at you, and you didn't know it was coming, but here in my area, we have kind of a homeless population, and they all have pets. And at my practice, we've sort of worked to be able to provide rabies vaccines and things for those. Is there anything that you guys are looking at or using the research that you have done to sort of help that population as well?
We're actually funding a study right now at Denver University. They are looking to create a model for homeless shelters so that they can become pet friendly. So they're especially looking at unhoused youth, but I think it'll work for everyone to really try and help homeless shelters really think through how they can accommodate pets. Because I think because you're working with this population, people won't come in unless their pet can come with them. And also, one of the things we're learning is that people might come in for that vaccine, but while you have them there to care for their pet, you can also talk with folks about human services and other things they might need.
Yes, I think the animals are a good bridge. Obviously, the homeless population doesn't really have as many cats. They have cats, but they don't walk around with them on a leash. You know, they just kind of hang out in the community. But dogs are certainly a bridge for us, and I love that. So is there any new and exciting research on the horizon?
Well, I do want to say that there's a study that was published just a short time ago that we were very proud to have funded at the University of Georgia. And this placed foster cats with older people who were living alone. And the idea was that if you provided them with a little bit of assistance with veterinary care and a bag of food and some litter, got them started, that not only would they ultimately adopt these cats, but that it would improve their loneliness, it would improve their mental health. And it turned out to be true. 97% of the seniors adopted the cats, and their mental health and loneliness scores improved. And now the University of Georgia is planning to do a full-scale clinical trial after we funded the pilot study. So think about this. You know, loneliness is an epidemic for many people in society, especially our seniors. And if we can place cats with these seniors, we can improve their health. We can find a lot more homes for cats. So I'm really excited and proud that we funded that research.
Well, I am too. I have an elderly mother, and as she gets less able to drive and go places to interact with the community, you know, your cat's right there. So you don't have to drive to see your cat. And I love that. Yeah, I'm excited about that too. So, okay, what about if we have listeners who kind of feel inspired or passionate about the things that we're talking about? I mean, how can they get involved and support you and spread the word?
Well, you can come to habri.org. You can find a lot of this information, including information on all the different research projects that we're funding. And you can, of course, make a donation if you're interested on the Habri webpage as well. But I think it's the most important thing is to spread the word that there's science behind these wonderful feelings we have for our pets. And when we share that science, it's good for people, it's good for pets, and it really helps our entire society become more pet friendly.
Which obviously I love. So yes, I mean, I love the fact that we're helping people and we're helping the pets because they're getting out of the shelter and feeling less lonely. And it's just such a good mission. I love it. So this has been such an insightful conversation. I think it helps everyone to know that the research, science is on the side of this and the research supports it because we all knew it, right? We already knew intuitively. So for my listeners, if you want to learn more about Habri, habri.org is their website. And if you are a pet lover like me, and I would say if you're listening to this show, you're probably a pet lover like me, please consider supporting their work. So is there anything else that you want to be sure that my listeners know from you?
Well, I'll just say go out there and love your pets. Make sure they get great veterinary care. I want to thank you, Dr. Katt, for everything you do as a veterinarian. Vets are at the center of the human-animal bond and supporting it in so many ways. So thank you for what you do. And thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, thank you for appreciating me. You know, the veterinary relationship is also extremely important. So yes, every show I like to highlight, include your vet. You know, whatever you're doing, include your vet, ask your vet, talk with your vet, build a relationship with your vet. So thanks. I love that. And thanks for joining us on Nine Lives with Dr. Katt. So I guess until next time, hug your pets, trust your vet, and keep on celebrating this love that science now helps us know to be true. And of course, go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.